Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. We'll talk about if South Beach could be his new home.
And we'll be joined by Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post to talk about Udonis Haslem's future in Miami and the chances of LeBron returning to the Heat. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Vermil, and we're joined today by Miami Heat beat reporter for the Palm Beach Post, Anthony Chang. We're going to talk with Anthony about Udonis Haslem's future in the NBA and LeBron's big decision this summer, but we've got breaking news. According to both Shams and ESPN, Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. Woj now is reporting that Kawhi would prefer to go to Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers. The Clippers might also be involved, but this is all breaking within the last hour we started recording. It's not going to be up necessarily to Kawhi where he goes, but he does have some leverage because, of course, he will have to make it clear to whatever team that trades for him that he's willing to sign an extension after next year. And when it comes to the Heat, one thing we know for sure is that Pat Riley will be placing a call to the Spurs front office. So, Anthony, now that you've had enough time to digest this, do you think Kawhi coming off? I just want to start with Kawhi Leonard coming off of that weird quad injury that he was dealing with all of last season. Is that the sort of transformational player? Transformational, using Pat Riley's words at the end of season press conference. Is he that sort of player worth selling all of the furniture for?
If he is close to 100% or if he is over that injury, then I say yes. I mean, we forget it was only a year ago that Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, everyone thought, well, you know, they were beating Golden State in Oakland in the playoffs in game one, and then Kawhi got hurt, missed the rest of the series, and San Antonio lost. But people thought San Antonio was going to win that series, and that team was led by Kawhi and pretty much, you know, a bunch of solid players. But no, you know, he was the leader of that team. He is one of the best players in the league. You can make an argument if he's healthy, he's right up there with Kevin Durant. So, to me, at 26 years old, in his prime, if you get a healthy Kawhi, he is definitely that transformational player that Pat Riley talked about a lot during his season-ending press conference.
David, it doesn't seem like the Heat have a lot of roads to get a superstar. So is it just if the Heat get the feeling that Kawhi is willing to re-sign in Miami, is it just, do you just take the chance, not even just whatever happens with the quad happens, but this might just be their best opportunity to land a star player of that caliber?
I don't know about. I can't see them trying to mortgage their future on somebody who might not be at 100%. And obviously, given that we're hearing that the injury and how the Spurs handled that injury might be the factor in him wanting that trade in the first place, I'm not sure Miami could afford to take that chance unless they're 100% in line with whatever Kawhi and his representatives, namely his uncle, how they address the future of that quad injury. And if that's going to be a question mark that kind of hovers over any kind of future with whatever team he gets traded to, I don't know that Miami could afford to make that risk. I mean, they're going to be giving up a whole heck of a lot in order to acquire a player like Kawhi. And one of the things I was thinking about as Anthony was answering about whether or not he's the kind of transformative player, he absolutely is as a singular talent. But one of the things that we've seen in Golden State and Cleveland here in Miami during the 2010 Big Three era is that you need other superstars if you're going to legitimately contend for a title. And is Kawhi at 26 that kind of player? I don't think he is. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to recruit other teammates to join him, whether it be in Miami or elsewhere. He's an incredible singular talent. But even a couple of years ago, when he was a legitimate MVP candidate, I talked to a lot of players about who were the MVP candidates at the time. Obviously, it was Russell Westbrook. LeBron James was always in consideration. And the one name that was always omitted was Kawhi. There was a sense from everybody I talked to that they didn't like the way he kind of rushed to his popularity and his all of a sudden MVP type status, and that he hadn't quote unquote earned it enough. And so it's kind of interesting to think whether or not maybe as much as we view him as media or as fans and how highly we see his talents, I'm not sure that he's the kind of person around the league that is the kind of guy that you'd want as a teammate. So I don't know that he'll recruit if he comes to Miami. And that's a big part of building a title contender nowadays.
Well, let me throw this out there. Hey, sorry. If you know, we obviously, like you said, he doesn't seem like the player that would recruit, but with LeBron James out there and him wanting obviously to compete with Golden State, it would seem that LeBron would, at least a good chance that he would maybe would follow Kawhi if he could to whatever team he joined, he was traded to kind of form their own super team. If Miami knew that it meant a better chance of getting LeBron, and it would have to be like a sign-in trade or just a straight-up trade if LeBron opted in, if trading for Kawhi meant getting LeBron, obviously you mortgage the future, right? Even if you're not
that,
sure
yeah.
Kawhi
yeah,
is 100%
sure.
or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the other part about it is, and you mentioned the recruiting part of it, David, I feel like that's kind of Pat Riley's job. You know, you look at what, you know, Danny Ainge did in Boston. He starts with Al Horford, gets Gordon Hayward. Suddenly they're a real destination for Kyrie Irving. They're not worried about Kyrie Irving being a flight risk after his contract is up. And so if you get Kawhi, that kind of that puts you in that area where you could start, if you're Pat Riley, if you're the Heat, other guys around the league, whether it be LeBron James or whoever else, might start looking at Miami as a real contender, even if Kawhi isn't doing the active recruiting.
But I feel like Boston's best recruiting tools are like players that are already under contract, like they're young players like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Brad Stevens, who obviously is a coach of the team. That's something that you want as far as being able to lure players to your side. But I don't know that it's necessarily enough. Like what Miami has is Eric Spoelstra, that kind of a name that I think attracts other players around the league. I don't see it that way. As much as we like what Spoelstra does and I appreciate his coaching acumen, I just don't know he's the kind of guy that's going to lure players to Miami's roster either.
I think the Heat culture part is the part that players actually respond to. We've seen guys like James Johnson, Deion Waiters, Wayne Ellington. I mean, those aren't big names by any means, but you can sort of start getting those like role players to maybe.
Sure.
I think that's the recruiting tool. But you're right.
And the city too.
Yes.
The city also. I mean, it's not everything, but that obviously helps. Just like LA, where guys want to play in Miami.
And no state income tax, which is very different than California, where they take all of your money. Trust me. So, look. The other part of this is. I mean, David, this is you mentioned how the Celtics have guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all these young assets that if you're a player, you know that. It's not like you know that Boston is a team where you could join and they get better, right? And that's kind of their recruiting tool. But for Miami, if they were to make a deal for Kawhi Leonard, it would involve most of their assets, if not all of them. And we could start talking about how the Heat can make that happen. I mean, if you're Riley, what do you offer? I mean, it starts with something built around at least what I think. And I'm interested to hear what you think, Anthony. Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow at minimum. You'd probably have to end up throwing in Bam Adebayo or that 2019 pick, if not both, in order to get Kawhi and probably another one of those filler salaries back to make it work. Maybe be Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, or Danny Green if he opts in one of those like $8 to $10 million contracts just to make the math work.
Yeah, no, I think it's exactly what it would take, and it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. Like you said, you're getting rid of pretty much all the assets. Josh Richardson, probably your biggest asset right now as a player. Bam Adebayo, you're either the biggest or second biggest, and then Justice, who's going to be a restricted free agent next year, but he's still on a very valuable contract. But again, those players, we know, we don't, they're not at their ceilings yet. And I don't think we know what Bam will be, but I think we know that there isn't a transformative player on this roster. Mm-hmm. I know we can argue whether Kawhi is that, but I'm always of the thought of you give up whatever you can to get that one player, because in the NBA, that can mean so much. Yeah, are you going to be Golden State with Kawhi and a bunch of, veteran minimum guys and maybe another piece or two? No. But in the East, you can compete, especially if LeBron goes to LA. In the East, you could find yourself in the conference finals just with a team built around Kawhi. So I think you do it, and it could be the first step in, like Wes said, attracting another star to Miami, because he says, well, if I can, maybe Kawhi's not recruiting him, but if I team up with Kawhi in Miami, we have a good chance of winning titles. So I think you do whatever it takes. Because right now, we know the Heat aren't even close to competing for a title, and Kawhi puts them that much closer.
It's easier than ever to listen to Locked On Heat. You don't even have to use your hands. Now you can stream the show on your smart speaker, such as Amazon Echo or Google Home. It's easy. Here, I'll show you. Alexa, play the Locked On Heat podcast.
Getting the latest episode of Locked On Heat. Here it is from TuneIn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now it's that much easier to stay up to date on the latest episodes of Locked On Heat, the only daily Miami Heat podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app. I mean, if you were to do that deal, say, if you were to basically just trade all of the assets plus Goran Dragic, essentially, for Kawhi, plus, let's just call it Patty Mills, right? I mean, now you're looking at a starting lineup for Miami of maybe Patty Mills at point guard, Dion Waiters at shooting guard, Kawhi Leonard, James Johnson, and Hassan Whiteside, with guys like Tyler Johnson, Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench, and then maybe Wayne Ellington if they could re-sign him. David, is that where does that team rank in the East, hypothetically?
Probably right where they are right now, to be honest with you. I mean, somewhere around 4-6. I would say that they're probably right around that mark. I mean, as great as he is, I just don't know that – does he put them over either Boston or Philadelphia? I don't see it.
No, that team's not as good.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. Even Washington, you know, given their strife during the regular season and the fact that they kind of underperformed in the playoffs, they're probably still a more talented team than Miami would be with Bradley Beal and John Wall under contract. So unless there's another trade, even with an up-and-coming team like Indiana, I guess Miami would probably be around there, you know, that's where Indiana fell in the playoff seeding. They were fifth overall.
I have to disagree with you. I mean, I think you guys are forgetting how good. I mean, I'm not saying, again, they're not going to win the championship, but you guys are forgetting how good Kawhi is. I mean, he led us, those Spurs teams, he was the best player by far. What he did to the Heat in 2014, he's arguably, people were saying he was the best two-way player in the game when LeBron's defense kind of fell off in Cleveland. He, if healthy, I mean, again, that's a big question mark. We don't know. But assuming he's healthy, which is a big assumption, he's arguably the best two-way player in the NBA. And to say, you know, Philly, who was just smoked by Boston in the playoffs, and, you know, the Heat, they lost in five, but they were in a bunch of those games. To say that them acquiring Kawhi wouldn't at least make it a conversation that they can be Philadelphia, or even Washington, who we know has a ton of issues, I think... I don't know. I just don't agree with that.
I think I would have if that roster for the Heat and then Grant and then just Boston getting all their guys back, Philly with their just natural internal development and probably getting a free agent, whoever it might be, whether it's Paul George or something lesser than that. I would probably have Boston, Philly, and then Miami if they have Kawhi Leonard. But I would have them over Washington because Miami's infrastructure and organization and coaching makes them better than the Wizards anyway. And then Indiana is a dark horse because they can make $40 million in cap room and make a move. But that's a whole other hypothetical.
Yeah, I think Boston's on a different level right now. Boston, if they have everyone healthy, they're the best team in the East. But I'm just that with Kawhi and that roster, I think Miami could realistically compete for the three or top end, maybe two seed, at least get close to it. I don't think it's out of the question. And right now that's much better than where the Heat are, where, they kind of wheeze their way to number six. And you can make the argument if teams get better next year, the Heat might even make the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't think you can stand pat with this, as we know now, somewhat mediocre roster.
I mean, it would certainly be a shakeup. David, one last thing, and then we'll move on to Udonis Haslem.
No, I mean, I just kind of look at that roster as assembled as what we're talking about, and it kind of reminds me a lot of what was in Cleveland, where you have LeBron James and maybe a couple other ancillary parts there that aren't going to get you very far. And I just don't look at Kawhi as being the same kind of impact player that LeBron James is. As much as he is the best, quote-unquote, two-way player or one of the best two-way players, obviously he's a great defensive player. He's not the kind of playmaker that LeBron James is, and I don't think he's the kind of scorer that he is either. And so I think there's still going to be a need for other parts surrounding any kind of roster with Kawhi in Miami in order for them to compete for the Eastern Conference title, let's say, if not legitimately for the NBA title.
And how they would get there would be, I mean, if you were to make that Kawhi trade, again, big hypothetical, it would require the Spurs to favor getting some proven/proven-ish and veteran players, as opposed to maybe getting a draft pick from the Clippers or the Knicks or something like that. Like if the Spurs don't want to go full rebuild and get like a lottery pick in return, That's the only way that Miami is even in this conversation. But let's say hypothetically that's the deal. We'd be looking at maybe the summer of 2020 as really when you start rebuilding that team around Kawhi. So Kawhi, you would have to convince Kawhi not only to re-sign or sign an extension in next summer, but probably have to wait another full season when Tyler Johnson's contract comes off the books, when Hassan Whiteside's contract comes off the books, if you're not able to trade him before then, and then really start to create some space to add talent around him. I mean, the draft would be done. It would not be an option to get players. Obviously, you're losing a guy like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo, who could potentially develop into maybe, you know, a co-star or just a solid role player who is just getting better. But look, I mean, it's with this news, the NBA offseason is officially underway. I'm sure we're just going to get more stuff, and there's probably more reports by the time you guys are hearing this podcast. But
And I wanted to make one note as we talk about Kawhi and the chance of him going to the Heat real quick. The odds were just released by, I guess, one sports book for Kawhi Leonard, where he's going to play next year. And the Heat aren't even listed in the odds. They're part of the field. So, you know, it's nice to talk about, I guess, but it looks like, you know, as of right now, it's not something that's obviously on the verge of happening. So,
dark horse candidate.
But, it seems like there's other teams with better chances to get him. So, but it's nice. It's good conversation, definitely.
I like the Clippers' chances. Tobias Harris, Patrick Beverley, the 12th and 13th pick.
And
Boban. Bring Boban back. The return of Boban. But let's talk about the news that Udonis Haslem could consider playing overseas if he feels he won't get playing time with the Heat next season. Anthony, how concerned should Heat fans be that Udonis Haslem could leave?
I mean, it was kind of, when we spoke with him yesterday at Heat Youth Camp at South Broward High, we weren't expecting a fired up Udonis Haslem. He was kind of, you know, very, very strong with his words of, you know, we even asked him. At first, we thought he was joking. He's like, hey, no, I don't know. I have a lot of energy left. I might have to go exert it somewhere else, like in China or something. He kind of said with a smile. And then one of the other reporters asked him, are you joking or is this serious? Like, no, I'm dead serious. Like, I want to play and I want to contribute to a team on the court. And I don't want to keep wasting time, you know, on the bench. Like, I work out for a reason. I stay in shape for a reason. I don't want to be just some figurehead. So I thought it was, you know, it surprised me. I don't know what the Heat's reaction was. I think everyone kind of knew there's somewhat frustration. Mm-hmm. He thinks he wants to play more and that's obvious. And he really doesn't get much playing time, only in blowouts or, you know, whether it's a win or a loss. He's more of a team leader at this point, but I think he made it clear he wants to play. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, right now, Udonis Haslem in today's NBA is a center. And the Heat have Hassan Whiteside, as of now, Kelly Olynyk, and Bam, who all played center last season. So there's not really a spot for Udonis to get consistent minutes unless this roster looks totally different next year, which, again, you never know. But do I think, you know, Udonis is going to play overseas? I would say no at this point. I kind of think he maybe let the emotion get the best of him in that moment. But who knows? I mean, he's obviously considering it, so it's going to be something to watch this summer.
Yeah, that's interesting because you kind of assume that he knew what he was getting into over the last couple seasons when he kept taking these minimum level deals that he was going to be the figurehead that you mentioned or you alluded to. I mean, he was supposed to be kind of the coach / player at the same time, where he was still mentoring guys and still there as a participant and during workouts and leading people and showing that Heat culture could be embodied and taken to another level, et cetera. So it's kind of interesting that he would verbalize these things now, but it also sounds like he's ready to actively play. And from everything we've heard, his future is kind of tied together with Dwayne Wade. So do you think that would be an indicator that both he and Wade are going to return back to Miami next season?
I don't know. I mean, I think at first we all thought that they were going to make a decision together and whatever they decided, they were going to do it together. But I'm getting the impression that while they're bouncing ideas off each other and they're talking it out with each other, I think their decisions will be individual. Like, it'll be individual decisions. I think they would like it, and Udonis mentioned it yesterday, they would like to decide together and kind of, you know, make the same decision. But he's like, it doesn't always work out that way. It could end up being that way, but I think it won't necessarily end up like that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's for sure that they're both just, you know, whether they're both decide to come back or either they're both decide to retire. I think it could be an individual decision. I wouldn't rule out one saying I'm going to retire and the other one saying I'm coming back.
Before we move on with the show, we want to take a quick break and tell you about our Patreon page. You can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. And we are humbly asking for people to commit to a monthly pledge to help us continue to improve the quality of the show. Thanks to you who have already supported the podcast, we have quickly reached our initial funding goal that allowed us to purchase software that improved the quality of the podcast. But we aren't just stopping there. We've added a new tier of supporters. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a bunch of goodies, including salary cap and depth chart projections, free agency player rankings by position, a running list of our favorite trade ideas, and whatever else we can think of. Just go to patreon.com/lockedonheat to get started. Again, that's patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's patreon.com/lockedonheat.
We talked about David West as a comp, you know, somebody that he could contribute to a title contender. Is Udonis that guy still? I mean, obviously he's a little undersized even at the center position in today's game. He's got the mid-range jumper. We've seen flashes of the three-pointer. He's obviously worked on that. But is he still a guy that can contribute to a legitimate title contender? Could he join LeBron in Los Angeles if he does wind up taking his talent to the Lakers?
We haven't seen Udonis play in so long that it's hard to even say. I mean, I see him sometimes practice and he's shooting threes, and I know he's developed a three-point shot. He really practices at it, and players say behind the scenes that he's like Dirk Nowitzki when they play pickup games, which is fun to envision. So I don't know. I mean, we really haven't seen him play. The last vision I have of Udonis is from those big three teams, really. I know he's in great shape. I know he's tried to evolve his game, but, you know, the argument that he, you know, or people that think he shouldn't play will make is that, you know, the NBA is different now. There's not as much room for a guy who's just hits, you know, mid-range standstill jumpers and, you know, is a physical, you know, player. The NBA is different now. You need big men to stretch the floor. So I don't know. But he thinks he could still play. And who are we to say he can't? Like, it's Udonis. So that's an interesting question. I don't know if he would consider. He didn't bring up the possibility of leaving the Heat for another NBA team, which I thought was telling. He brought up the possibility of leaving the Heat for a team in a different country. So I don't know if he would leave to like the Lakers or follow LeBron wherever he's going.
That's kind of like a semi-retirement, right? You take a few months, go to China, go to the Bahamas or wherever they have basketball leagues.
And remember, he played in France to start his career.
Yeah.
So he does have some experience with it. And, you know, his endorsement deal is like with Wade, with Li Ning, which is a brand in China. And he goes to China every summer.
Do they have Subway in China, though? I don't think they do. I'm concerned about Udonis being able to find his favorite.
Don't they have Subway everywhere?
I don't know. I don't think they have it in China.
I don't know.
By the way, I should add, as we're recording this, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting that the Boston Celtics are interested in a Kawhi Leonard trade.
Cool.
And that they've made inquiries during the trade deadline this past season. So it looks like there's going to be another dark horse candidate other than any team in Los Angeles.
Would you do – I mean, if I'm Boston, I would not do Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard just because of that quad thing. I mean, that thing is scary. I mean,
you have to really know.
And I'm just saying hypothetically, like if the Spurs called me up and I'm the Celtics and they just said Jaylen for Kawhi straight up, I would have real questions about doing that. That's how scared I am about that quad injury. But to go back to Haslam, I mean, that David West comparison is really the interesting one because he's looking at a guy like David West who plays about 13 minutes a game for the Warriors and had a role to play in the finals, obviously, and can sort of just eat up some minutes there at the center position. And he played 999 minutes last season. Haslam played 72. David West just won back-to-back championships with a real role on that Warriors team. hasn't played a role on a team that basically didn't make the playoffs and then was out of the playoffs in the first round. I think me personally, with those limited minutes that we saw Haslam play last year, he had ups and downs. Sometimes he looks like he could still play, and sometimes it looks old and slow and just gets blown by an above average guard. And I don't know if that's because of his age or maybe it's just a little bit of rust. Probably a combination of both. But I do think that Haslam could play a role. But like, you look at a guy like David West, he really didn't have much of a role in San Antonio when he was there, when he was first ring chasing. But when you're surrounded by Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson, you can kind of just throw anybody at that fifth position and they'll do something. I wonder if Haslam looks at maybe trying to find a situation like that. But just for whatever it's worth, I would rather have Haslam playing 8 minutes a game and then splitting up the rest of that time between Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo than have Hassan Whiteside on this roster trying to get 35 minutes per game.
And that could end up being the situation, honestly. I mean, who knows, you know, with all the reports saying that he's trying to or interested in trading Hassan and how that relationship has been going since last season. It could end up being that the Heat are left with Bam and Kelly and Udonis gets a couple minutes. I think that's really all he wants. He made it clear. He's like, I know I'm not a 30-minute a night guy anymore, but I just want to contribute, whether it's 8 minutes, 10 minutes, just something. I don't want to go 25 game stretch without getting a single minute. And you know, I mean, you can understand that if he doesn't want that and he wants to leave, then you have to understand, because
100%
an athlete, you know, if he's preparing his body and working that hard and he feels that he can still play, then go play. Go find a situation where you can play. So I don't think, if he does decide that, I don't think you can fault him for it.
I agree. And if you're a Heat center at this point, I mean, there's four of them on the roster, and all of them want playing time, and all of them need playing time. And so, to me, I just look at this summer as something's got to give at that center position. But we've already talked about Kawhi. We've talked about how the Heat could get involved there. But they might also be in play for LeBron James, if you believe some of the reports that are out there. We'll talk to Anthony about how Miami could facilitate LeBron's return when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, Anthony, you had a mailbag post go up today at palmbeachpost.com about how the Heat could create the space to bring LeBron back to Miami. It'll be difficult, but is that degree of difficulty enough that it takes the Heat out of the running completely for LeBron James?
Completely, I would say no, because anything could happen, and if LeBron really wants to come to the Heat, there's ways to make it happen. But it makes it a lot less likely, I think. Because, you know, LeBron, even if he let's say opted into the final year of his contract and demanded a trade to Miami, and Cleveland agreed, and the Heat traded a few pieces to Cleveland and got LeBron back, they wouldn't be left with pretty much any money to sign anybody else. So I think at this point, it seems like LeBron wants to play with another star or play on a team that's ready to compete for a title. And the Heat just aren't in a position, you know, they can compete in the East with LeBron, as we've seen. I mean, LeBron took the Cavaliers to the finals. They'll be able to compete in the East, but I think if there's a better situation out there, like L.A., where he has, you know, Paul George goes there, or he follows Kawhi to L.A., that seems like a more attractive situation, because there's another all-star caliber player on the roster with him.
Yeah, one of the things I've seen brought up a lot as far as LeBron to Miami is that his relationship with Pat Riley, a lot of people view that as being very negative, that it soured totally during the 4-year stretch there, and that LeBron may have been unhappy during his tenure working with and for Pat Riley. Do you get a sense, you know, I don't think you were covering the team during the Big Three era, but do you get a sense now in retrospect that maybe there was tension that was underreported, or that LeBron's relationship with Riley is still a frosty one and hasn't been healed to the point where a reunion could be in the works?
I think it's well known that, you know, it was reported a lot of places that when LeBron left in 2014, the Heat weren't happy with how it unfolded. And Riley's even admitted, recently that he was really angry about it for a few days, few weeks. But it seems like on Riley's end, he's kind of gotten over that. He said he even texted LeBron, I guess, before the finals before game seven of those 2016 finals when Cleveland beat Golden State, he kind of texted him to wish him good luck and to say, you know, to reach out to him. So I think on Riley's end, it's gotten better. And You know, LeBron, who knows? You know, you could assume that maybe he appreciates the way that he did things a little more after his time in Cleveland, the structure that he had in Miami. I think he will always appreciate that and respect the way the organization does things. And I also think it doesn't hurt that the Riley Wade relationship has been mended as well. I'm sure that helps in LeBron's eyes. And, you know, when you have Dwayne Wade in your ear, one of his closest friends, he could be, you know, could be telling him good things about Pat now. I think that could help. So I don't know. I mean, in the end of the day, is that really going to matter? You know, LeBron went back to Cleveland and Dan Gilbert, which I think their relationship still didn't seem to be great. So no. I think LeBron's going to go for the best basketball fit. But, you know, I agree. I mean, that does play a part, but I think it's going to be bigger than that when it comes down to where he picks, you know, his next team.
And he talked about his family, too, several times. I mean, he talked about it after Game 4 of the Finals, after they got swept. And then Dwayne Wade recently talked about it, of course. And I wonder how comfortable his family is in Miami, if that's really going to be something that he wants to do. But just to kind of go back to what we talked about at the top of the show about Kawhi Leonard, I don't think that the Heat are a good basketball fit necessarily for LeBron right now, but it might take... Look, I think LeBron, he could kind of go one of two ways, right? He could sort of dictate everything that happens in free agency, just say, I'm signing with the Lakers, whoever follows me is going to follow me. Or you could just sort of wait it out and see if the Lakers make a Kawhi trade, or if they land Paul George in free agency, and then say, you know what, the Lakers look like a good spot, I'm going there, or whatever the situation might be for him. The Heat, for that reason, I feel like they need to go out and either, if they want any chance at getting LeBron, and we don't even know if that's necessarily something that is on their radar realistically, right? But if it is, they need to make that Kawhi deal. They need to make or something similar to it. Go get Damian Lillard out of Portland. Go get John Wall out of Washington, or whatever it might be. If you think that would be enough of a co-star to persuade LeBron to at least consider a return to the Heat, right? I mean, do you get the feeling, Anthony, that LeBron is on their radar even? Is that kind of the direction that they're going in?
The Heat have been very tight-lipped, and from everything we've all heard, you know, I think they don't expect a LeBron return. But, I mean, if LeBron wants a meeting in July, even if the Heat don't have the cap space, they are going to give him that meeting.
Of course,
if he wants to meet with you, you're going to meet with him. So, because, you know, you never know. It could be a sign and trade deal. It could, you know, you could find a way to make it work if he really wants to go to the Heat, like I said before. LeBron's going to call the shots. If LeBron says, I want to see what the Heat have to offer, I want to see what they have to say, I want to meet with them at the start of free agency, then the Heat will be interested. The Heat are interested in LeBron. I think we could say that. They've been interested in him every season he's been in the NBA. It's just a matter of LeBron is interested in them. And I think that's the big question right now.
Yeah, that seems fair. This is kind of slightly related to this topic, but a little bit off of it as well. You know, we've heard reports that Gary Payton, former Heat player Gary Payton of all people, has said that LeBron's son is enrolled at a Los Angeles area school. And I want to get your perspective on this, because obviously I have an opinion on it, but I'm curious, from a journalistic ethics standpoint, is that something that should be reported? In today's world, obviously everybody's trying to get a leg up, trying to break news. You see Woj and Shams and others trying to break these kind of news, but never quite to the extent of reporting what a player's child is doing. And do you think they've gone too far in reporting something like this?
I mean, I don't like it personally, but I see why people report it, because it does, you know, it does. Yeah, and it is relevant, I guess. You know, if, you know, LeBron keeps mentioning his family, keeps bringing up his family, and his son's older now and is playing basketball, and, you know, he has to think about them. So when he brings that up, it kind of, it makes that relevant. It makes, is LeBron's son enrolled in a school in L.A. when the Lakers are the favorite to get him? That is absolutely relevant. I don't like it personally. Like, I don't know if I would do it, but I understand why someone would report it.
I'm sure you have a sense of what the Heat are trying to do this off season, but if you were in that front office and you had the ear of Pat Riley, and what would your to-do list this off season be for the Heat?
Try to acquire a star. That's number one, I think. Is it going to, you know, we don't know if it's going to happen, but it seems like there could be a lot of big names on the market this summer, whether it's through trade, as we see with Kawhi, or free agency. There's going to be big names, and I think you have to do everything you can to get one of those guys, you know, whether it's LeBron or Kawhi or Paul George, or, you know, Damian Lillard becomes available through trade, or if DeMar DeRozan becomes available. You have to do whatever it takes to get a premier player, because I think to compete in this league, like I've said, you can have as many good players as you want. Like the Heat last year, it was a nice roster that had solid players, but you need a star to really compete for anything big in this league, and that to me should be the number one priority this offseason.
If you had your pick between, let's say, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, John Wall, am I forgetting any other big names that we've talked about? Karl-Anthony Towns, DeMar DeRozan,
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, if you had to pick any of them, who would you choose?
LeBron, all day, because he is still, I know he's older than a lot of those guys, or all those guys, I guess, but he's still the best player in the league, and he joins your roster, you're immediately a title contender. You're immediately either the favorite in the East or the second favorite in, you know, one of the favorites in the East for sure. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron is clearly the answer just because of that reason. And just the cachet he holds around the league, I think, you know, he's one of the all-time greats, and he can attract other guys to the Heat with him. And he's not afraid to recruit, as we've all seen. So he will help in that way as well.
Now, what if I threw Mario Chalmers in that list? Would your answer change?
It might. I think I'd still pick LeBron, but I would definitely think of a little more.
So I had a dream last night that the Heat traded up into the first round of the NBA draft and got the 19th pick. I'm not sure why I dreamed that, but that they also brought back Mario Chalmers, in that next year we had the 19th pick in the draft, whoever that was going to be. But I just had visions of Mario Chalmers and Dwayne Wade back in the backcourt, and I woke up very happy. So I don't know if that's a premonition. I don't know if I had a vision, but just I'm putting it out there into the universe that Mario Chalmers, don't rule it out. He's working out in Miami right now. I'm just saying.
Nothing's impossible.
We could only be so lucky.
Especially when you have Pat Riley and Andy Ellis working in the front office. Hey, anything could happen. I wouldn't rule anything out. That's the fun of the NBA offseason, and the fun of being a Heat fan, because they've showed you that they will try to make a big splash. And, you know, I'm sure they'll try it, and we'll see what happens.
Anything you want to plug, Anthony, before we let you go?
No, I mean, just boring, but just my Twitter handle, I guess, you know, at Anthony _Chang. That's all I really have.
When do you post those mailbags? Those are good.
Usually once or twice a week. There's not a set day. It's pretty much whenever I have an empty spot in the rotation to put one up. So usually once or twice a week, and they're usually in the morning. So, and I will plug them on Twitter. So if you follow me at Anthony _Chang, the links will be up there.
Follow him on Twitter, follow his work at the Palm Beach Post. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, it was.
That was fun. Thanks, guys.